eating and drinking, but also through French gastronomic literature, and by association through French literary culture, for while few Americans realize it, much of what these writers wrote came out of, or in some cases was appropriated from, writing on food and wine by the French. Up to now, few of their biographers have looked at the lively writing on food and wine taking place among the French during the period 1900 to 1975. But even as I juxtapose French and American food writings and food experiences of the past century, I intend to show how truly daring and innovative these six Americans actually were in what they wrote. For none of them was simply presenting readers with a translated account of French gastronomic literature. Rather, they were attempting to explain the nature of French culinary awareness through their own particular experiences, circumstances, backgrounds, and personal ambitions. And ultimately, each did so in a way that was neither a part of the existing French tradition nor the evolving American. Rather, each took a new, more relaxed, and relatively informal approach to food awareness that suited the changing times in which they lived. This new sort of writing appealed strongly to readers back home, where, thanks to changing social conditions, literate Americans were suddenly forging new, more thoughtful, and ultimately more intimate relationships with their kitchens. For each of these writers, the key to their success as writers lay in presenting French food and wine through the simplifying lens of the self, and in doing so, offering American readers a new, easy-to-grasp way of acquainting themselves with French food and wine. They were, in that way, charismatic tour guides, specifically for Americans who might otherwise have been overwhelmed by the complexity of French cuisine and French food ways. And thanks to their passion for their subject, these writers skillfully communicated the French preoccupation with food quality, food freshness, terroir, and seasonality, four crucial French concepts that are today centrally important to the contemporary American understanding of eating and drinking well. Although each of these six writer-adventurers wrote accounts of their experiences in France, their Parisian exploits are often only minimally or fragmentarily documented. But all arrived in Paris with a lively curiosity about what the French ate and drank, and all had experiences in Paris that shaped the course of their later lives. They had much in common, and often crossed paths, frequenting the same well-known Paris restaurants and cafes, admiring the same French writers and chefs, living in the same little neighborhoods, reading the same great books, enjoying the same great French foods and wines, and even taking the same road trips to celebrated wine regions and Michelin-starred restaurants. More important, like the expatriate American writers, artists, and composers of the Lost Generation, they all came to Paris seeking a better way of living and being, and ultimately they were united in a common endeavor, the broadening of American cultural awareness about food appreciation, preparation, and enjoyment. During a moment in American history when food preparation was focused largely on convenience and economy, these writers found in France something entirely different, a sense of the importance and pleasure of good food and wine to everyday life. They engaged, each in his or her own way, in a cross-cultural exchange of ideas about eating well, and the knowledge they brought home has continued to inform American food awareness and food enjoyment ever since. Each of these writers gave America a new way of thinking about food and wine, and these very different ways of thinking all have their own validity and significance. Together, they seem to me to have initiated an American cultural dialogue on food that has continued in an equally fractious, contentious, cacophonous manner up to the present day, a gastronomic dialogue that involves not only cookbook authors, memoirists, and food journalists, but also restaurateurs and reformers, fabulists and home economists, hucksters and raconteurs, and entrepreneurs, too. Like a number of other contentious dialogues that evolved among Paris-based American expatriates of the 1950s and 1960s, including dialogues about gender and racial equality, sexual freedom, political dissent, and the right to free speech and artistic expression, the food and wine dialogue that was begun by these gourmands has helped establish a new way of thinking about eating well in the United States, one that was not about economy or convenience, but about pleasure.